sports. Sports, sports. Sports news. Sports stories. And if there's time, even sports opinions. It's the Sports Dump with Will Penhalley.
Loud again, but it was. All right, we're going. We're on. We're recording.
Unbelievable.
You didn't see it, folks, but what you missed was a lot of me being a kind of an idiot. And whenever we do this intro, you hear the intro going, and I start recording about 5 seconds before it ends. And every time we record it, it seems to just blast my headphones right
off
my head.
Good job.
This is a Sports Dump podcast with Ephraim Salam and me, Joe Canale. Okay, now it's starting to register. I turn things up. Things are happening. I can hear myself. Do I hear myself talking? I don't know what the fuck is. It's recording something. Give me some of you.
This is amazing to see. We've been doing this for about a month now. And although you do have a new board.
I do have a new board. So
you're looking at it like you have no idea. You're just pushing buttons right now.
I am.
I could be doing that.
I can't understand why I'm not getting anything in my ears here. Oh, now I am. Okay. I'm just not a smart person. That's something. That's not true. I am. But I'm an idiot. All right. It took us 140 to get into this, but here we are. You got through it. We got a lot to talk about. In the usual way, there's some sports in there somewhere. I have to say, Ephraim, he's a trooper. He's got a cast here. First of all, I'm noticing your leg is about as big as I am. this cast is enormous. Why don't you tell us what went on here? Why are you in this cast?
So last Monday, I had surgery, ankle surgery. I had giant bone spurs,
which are pieces of your bone that have
no. Okay. No. So if you've ever sprained your ankle or had any type of trauma to any joint or mm-hmm. anything like that, what happens is it swells up, stiffness, scar tissue as it begins to heal occurs,
uh-huh.
right? So, and, you know, that's why rehab and physical therapy is important to break down the scar tissue. So because what happens is over time, that scar tissue calcifies and becomes as hard as a bone, which is why they call it a bone spur. And sometimes they're loose bodies and they're floating around. But mostly what happens is they attach themselves to the end of the joint, which is the end of the bone.
Oh.
And so now it's like a little spur, like on the cowboy boot, a spur sticking out the back. It's just hanging out. So it, depending on where it is, it can change your range of motion. It could be extremely painful. In my case, it was both. I had two giant bone spurs. About almost 2 centimeters a piece. That's big.
Yeah,
for being inside
your ankle.
And they were hitting on a nerve.
Oh.
So it would really literally shut my whole right side down. And I've had them before.
Yep.
Had them taken out in 2004 when I was playing for the Denver Broncos. But they come back anytime.
It'll
come back.
Same foot?
Same foot. And the first surgery was minor, is arthroscopic, which means they just make a little incision, go in, pull them out, everything's good. I actually walked out of the hospital that day. This one, not so much. It's been 14 years since I had them removed. They really got inflamed last year, and the last 6 months has been unbearable. Long story shorter, they took them out. Two big chunks.
Not arthroscopic in this situation.
No, they had to open my ankle up.
Oh.
So that's why I had a cast on until yesterday. Yeah. They took that off, put this giant boot on, still wrapped the dressing. And
now, do they do that this way because it's a better way? If you were still playing, they would have done arthroscopic probably.
No, because they were too big.
It was beyond.
It was too big. And they don't want me to put any weight on it because they don't want me to open up. The wound.
Oh.
That's where the problems come. It'll heal. Once that wound closes, I'll be able to be functional. But they don't want me to open that up because if I showed you the pictures, you'd almost throw up on yourself.
Oh, I almost assuredly I would. So please don't. Now, when you had this in 2004, though, you say you walked out of the hospital.
Oh, it was 100% better. Just the
smaller procedure.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Well, my last four games of the 2003 season, I couldn't even practice. I couldn't even put any pressure on it. They would shoot my ankle up prior to the game starting.
Okay. So
I go out there and play, And then
so they save the shot for Sunday.
Yes.
And they wouldn't have you practice. So all basically week. You were playing, and had you not had the shot, you wouldn't be able to.
No, not at all.
And what the shot is doing is just completely
just numbs my foot.
Numbing you to a
numbs.
Searing pain that is still happening.
Yeah, when it wears off, it feels like someone put a stick of dynamite in my leg.
And how long does that shot last?
Tuesday, when I woke up Wednesday, it was over. I couldn't even put my foot down.
Oof.
Someone would have to take me in or they'd have to come get me. I couldn't put my foot down. It was literally like...
They had to have someone grab you and
like
carry
you? Like an explosion
you?
Went off in my foot.
Ugh. Well, that's the price. But I wish they would have let you keep the bone spurs. I got a fishbone caught in my throat once and they let me keep that.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you.
Because those are the same thing.
Not the same thing, but they effed up the procedure. First of all, he was so happy when he got it.
Uh-huh.
But he tried all this different stuff because it was clearly back there and he saw it. And he's putting gauze in my nose and stuff to numb all that area and stuff. It's way back there. Basically, he gets it. The whole office like goes, yeah, he got this bone because I guess it was way back or whatever and he could see it but couldn't get it. So everyone's celebrating. We all go da-da-da-da-da. I go to my car, and I had an audition to go to or whatever. And I feel weird, but it could be the numbness. And at some point, I did a huge sneeze. But then I'm also thinking, and I don't know what happened from that sneeze exactly, but I get a call as I'm going to the audition. They're like, we forgot to take the gauze out of your
nose.
So I go back. They can't find it. So either I sneezed it out, or I swallowed it, or it's in my brain still. But, yeah.
That explains a lot.
Back. Yeah,
that
maybe there is some gauze, fishbone gauze in there. You know how I have to match your story with whatever my equivalent
is. I was prepared for that.
Yeah, your bone spur leg, my fishbone
your
throat.
Fish
I could my voice,
bone.
My precious voice, I could barely talk. So you had to get come in on crutches today.
Yeah, so it's my right ankle. So... To drive over here, which I did, I had to use my left foot, which is
dangerous,
very dangerous. But I've mastered it because this was actually my sixth surgery on this leg. A lot of practice driving with my other foot.
Wow. Now, this leg, is this your plant leg? Is this the one that you're doing
this
a lot of?
This was my power leg.
That power leg.
Yes.
So that's the one taking the damage.
Taking the damage.
Because you're a left tackle,
mm-hmm.
So you want to plant with this so you've got the mobility?
Well, all the problems started my first 4 years in the league. I was a right tackle. And that's when we played on real live AstroTurf. Not the synthetic stuff that they have now with the rubber pellets. It was the carpet over concrete.
Right. So this stuff is better. The new stuff's better.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I wish I would have started my career on that. Then my right leg wouldn't be a mangled mess that it is.
Because it's very little padding on the AstroTurf.
It's no padding on AstroTurf. There's none. When I tell you none, I mean it's none. You know that synthetic grass that they have that you see on some people's lawns?
Yeah.
A lot of it in Arizona.
Yeah, they have it here too.
That's softer. I mean, I would love to have played on that.
Oh, my
We God. Literally had this
What was the
floor.
Point of that? Just that it's durable?
It was cheap.
Ugh.
Because you could put it inside.
Yeah, but you'd still think, again, why be cheap in this industry?
Because there'll always be players.
Right.
There's not going to ever be a shortage of players to play professional sports.
Right, so you could just run through
the quality may decrease, but the number willing to play will never decrease.
No matter what, sir.
No matter
but
what.
Still, this is ridiculous. But because of this, and you're like, you have anticipated this, and you no longer live in a multi-story house.
No, we moved out about a year ago, and we have a ranch-style house.
Not a ranch.
Doesn't mean a ranch with goats and
no.
And
no.
piglets.
Sure.
It's just a house.
Single level
house.
Yeah. And that was a conscious choice, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to do stairs anymore. I mean, you live upstairs and I almost killed myself trying to get up here.
One set of little stairs.
So just imagine that. I didn't want to be sleeping on the couch while I was healing. You know, I wanted to sleep in my own bed.
Stairs are all right, though, if you can walk. I've never been in as good shape as I was when when I lived on the third floor and I had my
I could do
my
without.
Child and I went up and down.
Yeah, I could
this
do
is
without.
How I got in shape.
Yeah, I could do without stairs.
Yeah, you probably don't need the stairs.
No.
Did they ever do that stadium stairs thing? Is that a thing that they do?
Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I've run plenty of stairs.
And that's all the way up and down?
The whole stadium. That is a, yes.
Now, when they say the whole stadium, is it up one section, back down?
Yes.
Over,
yeah.
Up one section,
yes.
Back down?
Yes.
Woo!
Yes. All of that. It's intense.
I hope
and
the Huskers
cruel.
Are doing that this year. They need to be in better shape. Those guys were a little slow this year. All right, we can get on to... Oh, no, I got something else to complain about before we get to the NBA draft lottery. That's good. We talked about your foot surgery. Oh, the other thing I want to mention is you had, I think in our first podcast, said you just went off the NFL health plan, right? It's
yes.
5 years after your retirement.
5 years after you retire.
It's like a warranty. They know that, like, yeah, these parts will probably
they
hold
know
up
it's
for 5 years.
They know it's
going
to kick in around 40 to 45.
Yeah.
Where the shit will hit the fan.
All the stuff starts breaking down.
Yeah, it's hit the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to get that Producers Guild insurance.
I need it. Got to get
that,
it.
That's probably a good
that's
insurance
the, that's
plan,
the good
I'm guessing.
Insurance.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. SAG insurance is good. Writers Guild is better. Directors Guild is better. And I'm guessing Producers Guild is...
It's pretty good.
Yeah. They give you like some kind of elixir that makes you live forever
I'll
if you're
take
a producer.
It.
Now, you are having to use our secondary mic stand, although it's working pretty fine right now.
It's actually better.
Considering your situation,
yeah, I can sit back and I don't have to hunch my back.
It's an actual stand, but usually we have a little table stand here that I was part of a microphone kit that my wife got me for podcasting that doesn't work as well as this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to get it out of the house.
What'd you do with it?
Went to Guitar Center
all
to
right.
sell it, along with an amp that somebody had given me when they were moving. Like a 30-watt guitar amp or whatever. So I get to Guitar Center, and I'm gonna trade it in to get headphones. I want to get another set of headphones so you can go deaf when I... You certainly don't... There's no reason you would want the headphones after seeing me.
Yeah, I'm pretty good without them.
Even after I fixed it was like three times I blasted myself. So I go there, and the guy, you know, I got a crappy microphone, this thing, the amp. And the guy's like, okay, well, how much are you expecting to get for this? I was like, I don't know. What are you expecting to give? You know, I always hate when they ask you that
right.
question first because it's like, no, I don't want to do it first. So, of course, he's like, I'll give you $5 for it. For the amp, I'm like, Jesus, $5. But I had bought an amp from there for $10, so I know that's probably.
Right.
And then I got to sell this other computer USB mic. So I got to go to the other section to do that. And I mean, all I'm going to be getting is like $20 for this. The guy's like, all right, $5 for this and then 15 on this. And I'm like, all right, store credit, I'll get that. So I go and I look and I find these headphones that are regularly 70 on sale for 30. Great. I get $20 off. I'll buy these headphones for $10. And it just takes for so fucking long. I got to give him my driver's license. So as if this crappy stuff was stolen. It's so heavy. Anyone who's going to steal this amp and sell it for $5, the effort
it's on
it
crack.
Took, yes.
It's smoking
right,
crack cocaine.
Right. But, you know, I got to give a thumbprint. I'm like, fucking thumbprint for this $10, $20? Go through this whole goddamn rigmarole. And then at the end, he's like, okay, so $5 for this and then $8 for this. I was like, wait, $8? You said $15. He's like, no. I said, I'm going to tag it for $15. I was like, you never said a number other than $15 to me for this. He's like, well, if I'm tagging it for 15, I can only give you 8. I'm like, the number 8?
Never came up.
Never said the number
never
8.
Never heard that
and
until
he's
right
like,
now.
Well, you misunderstood. I'm like, I didn't misunderstand. And again, it's such a trifle at this point. But I'm like, and I had an audition to go to and some other shit. And I'm standing there and I'm like, you know what? I'll just take my stuff. He's like, no, we own this stuff now. Because I had done all the paperwork.
Right.
So he has to reverse all the paperwork. And I'm like, what's the fastest thing I can do where I won't be arrested? So I take the
$13.
And I don't buy the things because I'm not going to. It was just, I was so mad
right.
at the whole thing. And he goes to get the money knowing I'm kind of in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have taken 10 minutes to get $13 out of a till. So he must have been just sitting there fucking smoking a cigarette.
Watching
or something.
You.
Yes.
He's looking. They're back there laughing.
I was so
at you.
Mad at Guitar Center. And it's like every time I'm there, it's just a bunch of dudes like wandering around. And then if one thinks you're going to buy something because I think they get a commission, then they're kind of like hounding you for the register to see when you come up to the register
right.
so they can get their But other than that, they're just a bunch of fucking vultures. I hate that place.
Is that the one right on Ventura?
Right there right on Ventura.
So I'm going to go in there. This is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to say, hey, look, started a management company. Got these young kids. Tremendous talent. We're going to do a little road trip. I want to outfit the band with all new instruments. And I'll spend 40 minutes in there. What's the guy's name? Do you know the guy's name?
I couldn't even tell you. Oh, this is a great idea.
I'll have him walk me around. I need drums. I need the best. Give me
the counting his commission.
This is the best of the best. I want the top quality stuff. Bring me the guitars from the back, right? These kids are so talented. I know they're the next One Direction. We're going to do it. I'm going to have them log and carry all of this stuff up to the front. Ring it up.
Oh,
is there any discount you can give me? No, forget it. He's like, all right, this is going to be, it'll probably be what?
$20,000, $30,000, yeah. You can get a couple guitars for $4,000 each.
Right. And I want the top of the line.
Yeah.
I want the stuff that the boss says, call me before you sell this.
Yeah.
Right? I want that. I want the whole store working up in a frenzy, ignoring other customers to come satisfy my needs for my new boy bands.
This is good.
And when we get up to the register to make the payment, I'll go from, give me 1 second. I'm right at the meter outside. Let me get my wallet.
And you're gone.
Gone.
Oh, I like it.
I'll do that for you, Joe.
That's a lot of time to commit to it.
Who cares?
I like that, though. And I took bass lessons there, and the guy from the first lesson to the second lesson, a week apart, did not recognize me.
Of course
didn't know who I was. And I was like, all right, man. I got two more lessons that I don't even want to take because I'm just.
I'm going to do that
anger
for you.
Boy, that would be. We got. If you are, let me know because we got to film. We got to somehow film that.
I have a production company.
That's right. Oh my god, it's no wonder people buy their shit on Amazon now.
Right.
Like the experience was just, and I like going in there and kind of wandering in the. But it's very annoying. All right. Well, that got us through the second part of that. I like your idea. I had a friend who did some pranks, but they were much lower maintenance. We got kicked out of a house when I was in college. There was no hot water, and so we left, and you know, then he sued for the lease and everything. This guy put a bunch of ads in the paper with this guy's phone number that he was selling guns and giving away free Doberman puppies just because he wanted to have the craziest people in the world call
amazing.
This guy. So that was his revenge thing. And the other thing they did, I think that they took a turkey, bought a turkey, mm-hmm. and buried it under the house.
Oh, amazing.
So it's such awful stuff.
Amazing.
But this guy, I mean, we had no hot water, and it was a shitty college situation. You lived in, did you live in football dorms?
I lived in apartment dorms, and I lived in regular dorms.
Yeah.
I got in a little bit of trouble my first year in college, so I was, part of my probation was I had to live with the common students in the regular dorms.
Yeah. That's the punishment?
That was one of the punishments. It was pretty intense. We'll talk about that
another time. Okay,
that'll be a whole podcast.
Okay.
Trust me.
We'll need a whole one for that. So you, that's kind of interesting though that you were there with the general population.
Yeah, I just had this one kid who had transferred from Azusa Pacific, and it was just like this little Mexican kid.
It was just your roommate
sharing a room,
with
right?
Yeah,
like had never played a sport in his life.
Right, and he's just like with this enormous, giant black man.
Yes.
Must have been just as interesting for him as
it
was for you.
I know, he was just like, hey, my my roommate is
huge.
I think I may be prison raped.
You know what? He should have become fast friends with you. He could have been your agent.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Kids, if your roommate in college is an enormous football player, don't look that kid.
And I wasn't. He would have had to look deep into the future because I wasn't even any good. I was
right.
I was on probation, so yeah. I couldn't even practice.
So you weren't even on the field, but you were living. And then did you do any fraternity or stuff?
No.
Did they have that at your school?
Of course, I went to San Diego State University.
But I don't know,
not San Diego State Awareness Institute.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the football team had the fraternities.
We didn't really do. They have fraternity roll and sorority roll, most of the guys on the football team now was our fraternity, right?
Yes.
What would I look like?
Right.
Going to beg you to be a part of your and being hazed and you call them in. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, well, first of all, most fraternities probably couldn't have carried you like out in the middle of the night and put you in a trunk of a car.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
No.
Like we were.
And also, when you think about what most fraternities are, it's a bunch of like white kids.
Well, they have black fraternities too. Just to throw that out there.
I have to ask a question about that.
Go ahead.
Now, this is maybe a stereotype involved
probably
with it.
Coming
but
from
you see a lot of guys
with
the
brand.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I can surmise.
Sigmas?
Yes. Is that the specific fraternity?
Yes.
The Sigmas put that on there.
And then you have Kappas. Then you have.
That's a commitment.
It's
burn that shit into your arm.
Branding me? No, I'm not doing that.
Well, and I have to think that the tracing that back, I know we always end up landing on some kind of race issue, but just randomly, isn't that going back to slave times?
Well, you wanted to know who was a part of your organization.
Right, and that's the most like,
yeah, it's not, you can't cover
way.
It up. It's
right.
not going anywhere.
Right, right. Even a tattoo you can kind of get.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a commitment, I suppose.
Yeah, but, you know, in today's world, those brands and those relationships you build in fraternities and sororities can, some of the most powerful people in the world have been in those, and
right.
they will gladly help you on the journey of being successful.
That those are the reasons to be in those whatever
Yeah, I
groups.
Just chose football in millions, so I was
You don't
like,
need the group if you've
I think
got
I'm
the...
going to just pave my own way here.
Yeah, that's always the smartest way when you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the easiest.
It's not
in fact,
easiest.
It's probably not the easiest. It's nice when, and it's.
I think
football is again. This is what I love about sports. In my industry, I can look to the left and right and go, "Oh, how the fuck is this person on this network?" Da 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 da. When you know when Jonathan Ogden gets in the Hall of Fame, you don't go, "How the hell did this guy get an Oscar?"
Not with
you
him.
See, he
right.
right. But I mean, most of the guys who achieve.
That level.
You never see a guy where it's like, that guy shouldn't be a...
It's like, no,
right,
it doesn't happen.
Right, even if he's an all-pro and somebody else should have been an all-pro, he still should be in the league.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
it's
there
not
are people
like
you see
be,
on TV right. who should not be on TV.
That is accurate.
Not that I should be on TV necessarily, but I could certainly put myself somewhere in the line ahead of people who are
well,
on TV.
Well, you definitely
TV.
Have a face for podcasts, though. But,
I got to laugh for silent movies, too. All right, we'll finally get to the sports. So the NBA draft lottery was last night, which is not only is it like a non-event,
it's
a
like
non-event
watching
preview, drive. A non-event. And I thought they were going to do it maybe halfway through the broadcast. I watched the whole thing, 7 to 8 or 7:30 to 8:30, whatever it was, 4:30 to 5:30 here. And they do it at the end, of course.
Of
and
course.
They draw it out, and it's each five picks. Now, a couple teams did jump, which screwed the Bulls, and the Mavericks got screwed, and... Another team got pushed back two picks, who was really awful. Orlando, maybe. But, like, again, you don't know any of who's going to end up being anything.
Right.
But, and this is, again, your circumstance is a little different. But when a guy is going to be, like, a first round or in the NBA, just drafted, does the team matter? Are you thinking, like, for example, Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Drafted by the Browns. Number
yes.
one pick.
Yes.
You want to be that number one pick. But does he say to himself, God, I'd be better off going to the Giants or
Absolutely.
Denver? So he gets drafted number one. Is he happy? Is he pissed?
Well,
is
he's happy he's drafted number one. But, and he's all, I mean, he's happy his dream is to play in the NFL.
Right.
So, even though a lot of people don't recognize the Browns as being in the NFL,
right, right.
they are in the NFL.
He still gets the NFL contract.
Right. They're one of the most storied franchises in the NFL. They just happened to suck the last 30, 40 years. Anyway.
But the 30, 40 before that.
Tremendous. But anyway, so for Baker Mayfield, for me, it was the worst situation ever. Because now you have a guy who has done some questionable things on and off the field. And now you stick them into a situation where there is no true leadership.
Yeah.
Nothing good has happened. They're yep. 1-30,
One in 31 in the last two seasons. 1-31.
Yeah, 1-31 in the last two seasons.
And like the last three seasons are like, four and whatever. 40.
So, and it's not like they have a tremendous defense.
They don't. No.
A great coaching staff. They don't
good
have
management,
anything, right?
Good
so
ownership.
They drop this kid who may not be ready for the type of scrutiny that failure brings.
Right.
Now, he can go out and be good, but if you still don't win games, he's going to be put in positions where he's going to have to throw the ball more than he wants to at the time. Hopefully, best case scenario, Tyrod Taylor starts.
I would hope.
They don't. The first quarter of the season, they 0-4, and they say, hey, we got to put this kid in, see what he does. He comes out and wins a couple games. That's the best case scenario for him, right? If they end the season at 4-12, you know, 5-11, that's a win for him.
For him this year,
that's a win.
Also, they'll be able to draft high again and hopefully get
some more help. That's a win. Yeah. That's a big time win. But him starting the season and them doing terrible, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to this kid.
Yeah, yeah. You just wonder with guys like Aaron Rodgers slipping, and he fell into like, other than Favre being there, he fell into kind of a perfect situation.
Well, it was a perfect situation for him because now
he did get to sit those years, actually. Yeah,
and now he's revered as one of the best quarterbacks ever.
And he may not have been if he started right away.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
it's a myriad of quarterbacks who've gone. Like David Carr, when he came out, he was tremendous, but he was drafted by the expansion team, the Texans.
Yep,
that had nothing, no stability.
Yep,
no offensive line, nothing.
Yeah, and that was and their plan turned out to be bad because you put a quarterback with
but
nothing
you
around.
Make him the face of the franchise, and it was so much fanfare behind this kid who was extremely talented.
Yeah.
So they pretty much gave him the key to the city, and it didn't produce anything in terms of wins, but he developed a lot of bad habits. They never called him on his bad play, his lack of awareness.
Right.
So he spent 4 or 5 years with these terrible habits. And when Gary Kubiak and myself came in, who came from Denver and established system, championships, and he tried to do the same type of things, Gary Kubiak ripped him a new one.
And he wasn't used to that.
Couldn't even recover from it. I'm talking about just plummeted.
Yeah.
And you go look at his 2006 numbers with the Texans, his last year there. At the beginning of the season, even though we weren't winning, he was having a good year statistically wise. But his big thing was passing rating and his completion percentage. So he never wanted to throw the ball
away. Oh, his big thing to him.
Yeah, he never wanted to throw the ball away. It was all his stats. So we ran a lot of bootlegs in that system. And what he would do is he would run out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage.
Losses.
That's a sack. So when you see these inflated numbers of the Texans giving up.
Oh, yes, because he was sacked more than anybody. Right,
so we had a game one time where we didn't give up any sacks. And on the sheet, we had 3 sacks. So Gary Kubiak came in and really ripped him a new one. Like, he ripped him a new one.
Yeah.
And
one of my teammates leaned over 15 yards.
And was like, hey. I've been here since he's been here, and no one has ever held him accountable like that.
Yeah.
And it just
– It had gone too far.
He just couldn't recover from that.
Yeah. Well, now
– So I look at Baker Mayfield and put him in a situation where he's forced to do something, and the system is not there to help him correct his bad habits.
And they've had so many other guys who were, similar. He'll
be the 29th if he ends up starting. Him or Tyrod Taylor would be the 29th.
And then the other
starting
will be the 30th.
Quarterback since 99.
Yeah. And again, it's different for the NBA because a guy goes in.
One guy can change a team.
Right.
LeBron James changed.
Well, and
the
that's
face
what I was thinking of
the
like,
Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavaliers were pitiful and awful at the time too, but he was so transcendent.
He changed
himself.
Right.
And there aren't many football players like that.
No, Marshall Faulk was one of those guys who came into the league and. It was like, Dan Marino, his rookie year.
He had a great Lawrence Taylor.
It's a few guys who you're like, whoa.
I remember Ronnie Lott was good as a rookie. He came out the same year as Taylor.
If Ezekiel Elliott continues to go on that path, he'll be one of those guys.
Oh, I hope Saquon Barkley turns out to be one of those guys.
Right? So they can change the But when that equate, that doesn't really equate to wins in football.
Yeah.
In Dan Marino's case, it did.
But also, if Marino slipped. He wasn't, you know, like, he, you know, you can make the case that there were other great quarterbacks in that class, Elway, of course. But other than Elway, he was the second best player, but he went all the way back. Maybe the best player ever, the 199th pick of the draft. You're the second best 199th pick of the draft.
Tom Brady.
But yeah, and that kind of goes against the whole thing of like one transcendent guy can change when you can get a guy that late and make him the best player in the league.
And then now that's real value.
Yes. Oh yeah.
That's real value. You know, the first pick in the draft, he comes in and trained as your franchise. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's why you're paying him that
Right. That's the value that you're paying.
Right.
For.
That's the value. It's not exceeding the value.
No.
Now, when you get Tom Brady in the sixth round,
or even for a 199, starting lineman,
or starting lineman in the sixth, seventh round, you've tripled your value.
Right. Right.
In that position and for your team.
Because you were starting as a left tackle your first few years.
Right tackle
your first few years.
Which I had never played before.
You always had been on the left.
Yeah.
But that's what they only switch guys who are good athletes.
Well, I was a great athlete.
Right.
Still am. Still could beat you in basketball. With this club on my foot.
I don't want you
And one crutch.
I don't want you to suffer a debilitating injury that you then hold against me forever. So I'll wait for you to heal from that.
We will have this game.
It's going to be awful.
I won't score in the paint.
All right, man.
I won't score in the paint. I won't use the paint because that would, be like me playing with your daughter.
Against most people, I have the advantage of being more athletic than I look.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I know. I still am more athletic than I look against you.
Yes.
But it
still doesn't matter.
I'm not as athletic as you look, and you're more athletic than you look.
That is true.
So we're a couple levels away. I'm sneaky, though.
Okay. But I know where you have to go, though.
That's
the whole thing.
That's the problem.
Like with basketball, you can do everything you want out here. I know exactly where the ball needs to go.
I'll even tell you, I am basically Allen Iverson with a lower shooting percentage.
Oh, well, that's perfect then. Because you're not going to rebound the ball over me.
That's the problem. I got to think about this. All right. Well, if anyone has any tips, any legal, fast-acting steroid-type stuff that wears off after 24 hours. I'm into that kind of stuff. Until then, though, this has been the Sports Dump Podcast. Look for us to add a theme and all kinds of extra stuff in the very near future.
We're growing.
We have new equipment. We have a big cast here. I mean a literal cast, not a cast of hundreds. I mean, we've added a cast to the cast. and hopefully there'll be more sports to talk about soon. All right, later. Bye.